Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just didn't play good enough football. That's point blank. We need to watch the film and see what happened, but not steal the football.
Yeah, I don't think we handled adversity. That second half, it just kind of split open. If you get hit hard enough, you got to have answers for it. Part of being a professional is fixing your mistakes fast and answering those problems. I think this is a lesson we all can learn from. Hopefully it hits home fast.
Cam Hayward also saying after the game that he felt like the defense lacked fight, which is really disturbing to hear. And this is just the same thing over and over again. I mean, we're hearing the same stuff. Excuse me, Bob. It feels like year after year in some of these big moments. And time's starting to run out on Cam Hayward, maybe on TJ Watt. You know, certainly on Darius Slay. I know Jalen Ramsey's on the other side of 30. I heard Rex Ryan say they look old, slow, and done, which is what they said a long time ago when the Steelers' defense started to look that way, which I guess ironically, maybe, if that's the right use of the word ironic, Aaron Rodgers, that 2010 Super Bowl really was the beginning of the end of that great Steeler defense, right? Because after that, Tebow happened. And then guys started to slowly but surely end their careers, right? That was the end for those guys. Maybe the end is near for Cam's, for some of these guys. And it's just nothing's changing. That's the disturbing part, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You had these guys here for a reason. The urgency in terms of their time in the NFL was a very high level. That's why they did this. They wanted to try to cash in on a year where this can be argued for a debate also, instead of just not doing it, not bringing in and making a trade for Ramsey or Smith or bringing in Slay or Rodgers, they could have just kept everything the way it is and maybe moved more to the bottom of the heap in terms of wins and get a better draft pick. But again, they brought in those guys for one season, mostly this season, to try to win, get an opportunity, banking on the fact that Aaron Rodgers and his ability as an IQ guy, someone who's seen everything. If they got into that scenario, they could win with somebody like that. And it started off like you'd say, okay, there are some performances on offense. You thought that's fine. That's what they're going to have to do. But you also expected the defense, which was supposed to be, again, historically great, has been historically bad in so many ways. You can't be last in the league in pass defense and expect to compete in this game because there's too many good quarterbacks and too many good offensive schemes and coaches who can make you pay for that, and that's what's happened.
Well, that leads us right into your favorite segment, Bob. Decisions.
Double
from
D.
The game last night, and also decisions that you watch the game are reminded of from watching it. And I'll start with this one for you too, Limits, on this one. Was it a good decision to sign TJ Watt to a 3-year, $123 million extension, averaging $41 million a year? I said it at the time, and I'll say it today again, and it's just really one word. No. What do you say, Bob?
I thought it was risky, but I thought they would do it because they want to have that guy here, but assuming he would have the same kind of numbers on average that he would normally do. But if you look back at the past 18 games or so, and that dates back to last year, the beginning of last year, the numbers haven't been there in his favor. But a prudent way to go would have been to franchise him and see what happens after that, if you're going to do it. You could have done that. They chose not to do that, but I expected the numbers to be still good, and I did this year specifically. Next year and the year after, I would have expected some fade in his production. I didn't expect it now. I think he needs to be much better than he's been.
Yeah, so, I think $41 million for an edge rusher is ridiculous. I do.
But all the guys in the game who play that position get that kind of money. That's just the way it is. But his age, you could have argued that was fine 4 years ago.
Well, that's fine that other guys get it. I mean, what are they? Myles Garrett had five sacks. It was the ultimate Myles Garrett performance yesterday. Five sacks and a blowout loss. They won. Look at the numbers of edge rushers.
19 and five sacks.
In terms of winning big games, bang for the buck with these guys. I don't think that's where you win in the NFL. Maybe with a pass rush, but it's the type that Tampa Bay unleashed on Mahomes, or the Eagles unleashed on Mahomes, or the Giants way back when unleashed on Tom Brady. It's like the kind of pass rush that usually wins Super Bowls is multiple guys from everywhere along your defensive front, like interior too, like having a team pass rush. It's not necessarily star edge rushers, you know?
No, you have to get it from all angles.
Now,
absolutely.
Micah Parsons had a pretty good game last night in the second half. He was the closer.
But
say
he's also
that much.
26, and he got a $46
million. And he's also way
dollar.
More than just an edge rusher.
Right, they move him around. He comes at you from all angles. And so that was a move Green Bay made, and it was a smart move, even though they knew they had to pay that kind of money. But that's where the market had gone. So
I think it's different. I think it's different when you're one player away. Like if the Bills had signed T.J. Watt to that kind of deal, or give me another team, even the Bengals when they had Hendrickson and a healthy Burrow, the Steelers were not one player away. There are many. It was a bad contract, I think. He could still prove that wrong, but it doesn't look like he's ramping it up limits. Was that a good decision?
Right now, no. I mean, partly just because of the $41 million. Like, I was okay with them keeping Watt around for the next couple of years, but just not at that number. I wanted it to be more around 33, 35, because you're paying for what he's going to be, not what he was. And right now, he's just been so unproductive, him and Highsmith combined, that, yeah, right now it's looking like a bad deal.
They would have gotten it for a much cheaper price had they done this a year ago.
Yes, they would have.
And they knew that it was coming up eventually. So to beat...
Highsmith looks like a horrible deal. I don't know where he is. He's almost never noticeable. No. We don't talk about that a lot. Where the hell is Alex Highsmith?
Well, and I think the number that you brought up, I think it was last week, that the year he had 14 and a half sacks earned the new contract... He's had 14 and a half sacks in all of his games since
the day he signed it.
It's insane. Since the 2022 season,
it's
14
unreal.
And a half. Since 23, 24, 25, same number, 14 and a half.
Right. And their run defense has given up a lot, too, on average here for some of these good teams who have good running games. If you're not sacking, you got to make tackles. Tackles for losses are still very big plays. We haven't seen many of those as well, so...
All right. Well, other decisions specifically to the game. Let's just go one by one with some of the ones that helped shape the game. Should Kraft have been called for offensive pass interference on Deshaun Elliott on that huge play, the balloon ball?
I would say no. I'm a big believer that it has to be extremely egregious to call that, because you can throw flags every time there's contact.
I would agree on that one. I don't think that was flag worthy. I think he sort of pushed Elliott's arms away from him, but Elliott had his arms on him. So it was just sort of the tug of war that happens in the NFL. There was a brutal offensive pass interference call in the Giants-Eagles game where the Giants scored a touchdown. I forget who it was, but he was called for offensive pass interference, and I thought Daboll was going to commit an act of violence.
Yeah,
on
I
the
saw
officials.
That play. You're right.
What a joke that was. And I would hate to see that. It didn't rise to the point where it should have been called. Limits?
I could see it either way. I would have rather them called it, just because, at least, hindsight 2020 with the replay, it looks like there was more of a distinct push-off. But in the moment, I did not think that it was pass interference until we got to see it a second time.
All right. A huge play in the game. Steelers' first drive of the second half. They finished the first half in style with a great drive. Then McManus misses a field goal, so they're in good shape. They've got the second half kickoff. And then the Packers were clearly offsides on the play, Bob. clearly 100% offside. So let me ask you this question.
That wouldn't have made it a first down, but it would have made it very manageable. Third and a yard.
Plus, Rodgers, seemingly thinking he had a free play, went down the field to Roman Wilson, who, by the way, should have caught that ball. He had a good game, but he should have caught the ball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's my question. With all the immediate reviews of play, what do you call it when they go right upstairs? What's that?
Replay assist.
Replay assist.
Why can't that go to a play that wasn't flagged? We're still not there with replay. If we can't look at that play, if replay assist can't look at that and say that was offside, but they immediately went to Terry McCauley, the officiating expert on the broadcast, and Tirico says, could they change a play where a flag wasn't thrown? And McCauley's like, no way, that's never happened. Well, why not? So you're telling me still, if a receiver were to get tackled on a play in the Super Bowl and no flag was thrown, we're back to the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. Replay assist can't say that's a penalty? It can only be to reverse a flag that was thrown. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and that's why they need to change all of that. If you're going to have it, just have it. And it could be on any play at any given time. I also think, to even that out, Broderick Jones had a clear false start on a play
he
where
did.
They ignored. They didn't call that either.
He did.
So that could have been in the same boat.
Why is that not reviewable
it should
by
be,
replay
especially
assist?
If they're big plays.
That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. Considering how much we've been consumed by replay, everything is reviewable. What's a catch? What's not?
Just when I thought it was getting better limits, because I think replay assist, it's been very expedient.
Yes.
It's been working quickly to correct, like the Roman Wilson touchdown. That was the right call, came right down from upstairs, and it worked. And I thought last week's game was officiated expertly by the guys on the field, and more to the point, replay assist. But if you're not allowing a play like that during a game to be immediately reversed, then what are we doing here? We still don't have it right with replay.
And to think that this is the crew that was picked for primetime, like this was one of the worst officiated games we've seen in a while. Like, it was pretty bad.
I think you can say that about every. I saw a play in the Eagles game too where it was a tush push. They blew the whistle for no reason.
So bad about it? Other than, I mean, they missed an obvious offsides. What were some other egregious calls
non-calls? I thought that was poor. I thought the call on Broderick Jones
non-call,
was not a
non-call. Yeah.
That non-call was not a good one.
I mean, guys, to be fair, tackles, and I know he was clearly offside on that play and he was pulling, but tackles jump early every game, week to week. But what else? That's two misses.
Yeah, I want to go back and look at my notes.
I didn't think it was the worst officiating game I've seen in a long time.
I did not, and I never want to think about officials unless it's egregiously bad. I still think if you're bringing that up, then you're not telling the real story, which is the Steeler defense had no answers.
That's
the real story.
The Nick Herbig penalty on special teams when Ben Skoranek got dragged down by two guys?
Well, DK Metcalf had one too.
He got hit by two guys and buried. They didn't do anything illegal.
You don't well after the play?
Was it after the play?
Yeah,
I just saw the replay.
It was during the play, and that's what those guys do on those special teams plays. They come down and they
pound you. Still can't retaliate, Limits. The second guy always gets caught, and that was him and Metcalf with the stupid play he made.
Well, I don't deny the Metcalf one. That was dumb. That was worthy of a penalty.
You don't think Herbig's was dumb?
I think the Herbig's one should have been offsetting. I should think it should have been penalties
they,
on both sides.
I mean, there's the old saying, they always miss the first guy and get the second guy.
Well, when there were two guys,
the moral of the story is don't be the second guy.
In those special teams play, those guys, they're going to pin you down. I mean, that's not, to me, unusual, is it? to see them now maybe last a little longer than it should have. If you want to throw a flag for that, fine, but they deemed that was not a problem.
Tirico also said, I think to McCauley after the game, now I can't remember, that fans are rightfully confused as to challenges versus
replay assist.
Like, do you have to, why ever challenge a play if it's going to be fixed by replay assist? How do you know when to challenge, right?
Well, and that's the Steelers were lucky in that case because they had no timeouts and it was before the 2-minute warning. So they couldn't use a challenge if there was no replay assist. But replay assist is supposed to help you out in those situations. You shouldn't have to challenge a play like that because it was clearly a missed call.
How about all the scuffles at end of plays as well?
Yeah.
Didn't seem like the refs ever had that under control. There were 3 or 4, especially in the second half.
What are they supposed to do, Limits? The guys are going to scuffle, they scuffle.
I don't know. Say something over the, this is a warning to the players. Get back to your benches or something. They've done that before.
Bob? I didn't think, there's a couple of post-play scuffles. Limits has gone nuts
kind of like the umpire saying, all right, everybody, benches are about to clear. You're tossed if another instance happens again.
Yeah, but I don't think in that game with the emotions, I don't think it was just chippy more than anything else. I didn't see anything beyond that.
I thought it was more chippy than any other game this year for sure.
I'm not a flag person. I don't want to see more. I want to see fewer flags. I just do. I'm tired of watching every play flagged. And sometimes it happens late. They get together on replay assist, and all of a sudden the guy throw a flag in the middle of a huddle that he didn't call during the actual play. So.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.